We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Like they're all wild now, just a sexy boy.
They don't make them like Slasherini, do they? Chris Russell, our good pal, one of our Redskins reporters and insiders, joins us live on Grant and Danny. Christopher, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, guys. They broke the mold, which is a good thing for the rest of humane society.
Rainey, can I get your Chris Rousseau impression, please?
No, I'm not doing that.
Why not, Rainey? Let's hear it.
No, because I need the theme song and everything. I'm not giving the station any more material than I've already given. I mean, I have donated so much good material that makes fun of me to this radio station. You'd literally think I was like Bill Gates or something.
What if I'm Mike Francesa and you be Chris Russo? Will that work?
Dog. The Yankees last night, the dog.
I can't Four do it. I have to be in Sabathia. Studio. I promise you I will come in studio maybe tomorrow when I fill in for Dukes after your show.
Dukes
and we can do a Mike and the Mad Dog impersonation.
Sounds good.
I look forward to that, Greg. Oh, I'm in on that.
Thanks for ruining my fun.
Oh, no, Russell. Don't listen to him. He's just sour grapes. Help me out with this weekend. Do we see some of these guys that are long awaited? I'm thinking specifically Junior Gallette and or Jordan Reed. Do we see them this weekend?
I think it's weird. As Jay pointed out yesterday, Reed doesn't need to play as much as Junior Gallette needs to play. If we're comparing the two side by side, and obviously I know that's a difficult comparison, but just using those two big names, I think Reed is going to play. I'd be surprised now if he doesn't play after hearing him talk yesterday, after hearing Jay Gruden talk yesterday, after realizing that, you know, we're now not allowed to attend the full practice anymore, because of the rules over there. But he was going through full team drills, not every one of them. So we have to caution that. But that's, again, to be expected, whereas Gallette was kind of eased in a little bit more. Now, I was happy to see that, again, he was eased in a little bit, did limited team stuff. I would expect more of that today as practice begins right now at Redskins Park. I would say Reed more likely than Gallette, but I would like to see both play.
Grant and Danny with Chris Russell on 106.7 The Fan. Delving deeper into that, can you trust Jordan Reed sans the preseason to play at 100% right away? What about Junior Gallette? Don't we have to see something from that guy before we just trot him out there in September and expect him to help the Redskins?
Yeah, I think no doubt. But I think Reed, and I like what you said earlier as I was driving around and I was listening about the whole fumble thing. I think so from that standpoint, maybe it's a little bit more important with Jordan. The bigger thing, though, is and why I need to see if, again, we're comparing the two side by side. And I realize it's not the same comparison because Gallette hasn't played at all. And as Jay said, and, you know, as Mike Shanahan used to say all the time, there's a huge difference between football shape and cardio shape or conditioning shape. And I'm sure Junior Gallette is in real good cardio and real good conditioning shape. I know that. I mean, he's lost weight. He looks great. He looks the part. He just can't stay on the field. So to me, I would trust Jordan to stay a little more healthy and to be more ready and be more ready to contribute early on in this season than I would Junior Gallette. But that's only because I've been left with no other choice but to say, hey, when we see Gallette, whenever it is, we'll see him, maybe, one of these days.
Russell, do you think they'll be able to run the football better? Or is this just what we're going to be in for this year?
I think it'll be better than it has been in these first two preseason games, but you guys know I've been screaming about this forever. And it's not only the non-commitment to run, and I know we have philosophical differences, the three of us, on this. It is the inability to run up the middle, and that starts with Sean LaValle, Spencer Long, obviously, when he's healthy, and maybe part of the reason why their struggles was because he wasn't healthy. And also, again, and I know nobody wants to touch this, but I don't think Brandon Scherff is dominant. I think he's good. I just don't think he's dominant by any means. I don't think he's great. I think he's good. So they struggle with a dual problem here. One, They have no commitment, no desire truly to run. They say they do. They never do. And two, especially against good defenses, two, they don't have the ability to run up the middle. And then when they try to run off the edges, whether it be, you know, a little toss, whether it be a little outside zone, then you're asking for tight ends and wide receivers not to block us, not to miss assignments, not to blow coverage, I should say blocking schemes, and for everything to work in unison. And as we've seen twice in these two first preseason games, they've had more guys and way more guys in two specific plays to block, and both times a guy came in untouched, unscathed, and blew up Rob Kelly in the backfield.
So as we go forward, I mean, here's the thing. I think they want to run the ball, Russell. So to me, they're just not the not commitment thing is where you and I obviously part company. I just think they can't afford to stay committed when they just can't do it.
We've argued with him about, too, the first down runs that are unsuccessful.
Yeah, maybe it's chicken or the egg here, but I think they generally see the value in it. They'd like to do it. Kirk talks about it. Jay talks about it. Is it a mindset problem? Is it just that they just, you know, I just think it's a systemic problem with Jay Gruden's offense that they just simply can't do it.
Yeah, I think they get frustrated by the lack of success. I think we can all agree on that, right? And that's understandable, and that's normal. But I would say this, and I know it's not the same thing as starting 2nd and 11, 2nd and 12, as opposed to 2nd and 10 if you throw on first down and it's an incomplete. But I think... I think we're losing big picture sight of the benefit of the run. Okay, it's not only for the offense, it's also for the defense, but more importantly, it's so that you get in a situation where defenses cannot figure you out, make you one dimensional, pin their ears back, and attack you like they have done in so many cases over the last 2 years, especially the real good wrecking ball type front sevens. If you look at the Minnesota game last year, guys, right? They started out that game, they struggled a little bit, but they kept patient, they kept pounding the run, and they kept going after it, and I think they had more balance, at least based on my memory, than they do normally against really good front sevens, the Giants, Carolina, so on and so forth, Green Bay in the playoff game, etc. So to me, the key is not necessarily getting frustrated early on by success or lack thereof. It's being patient enough to say, hey, the ancillary benefits are more than just the pure numbers, if that makes sense. And I need more time to explain this, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? It sets up play action. It keeps, again, defenses from zeroing in and honing in and just being able to just get after it like a bunch of crazed dogs.
Chris Russell can be found on Twitter, and if you're not following him, you're missing out on some quality Redskins information at RussellMania621. Are they happy with Stacey McGee and Terrence McClain so far?
I don't think they are with McClain. With McGee. I had heard something down in Richmond, and I wasn't sure if it was just a motivational thing. But then Jones came out with his reporting, and it seemed to kind of back up the same type of thing. Now Jay said yesterday they love him and thrilled, and he started the other night, which he did. I think that was more of a test to see where he's at. He's struggling in an adjustment from a one-gap penetrating defense to more of a two-gap kind of read-and-react type defense that they are running on the defensive line with Tom Sula specifically. It's an aggressive defense that Minuski will run, but it's a little bit of a different front with assignments and so on and so forth. McGee, as far as he goes, I mean, I haven't been able to see, like, this guy really stand out like Lanier has at times, like Ioannidis has at times, certainly like Phil Taylor has at times. But the one big problem is you cannot extend drives. Two penalties, one on special teams, one on defense, have led to 14 points. I know it's the preseason, but if you do this stuff weeks one and two, you are going to lose games, period, and then you're not going to make the playoffs.
Russell, who's got the most on the line this weekend? What player or players?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say on defense, certainly, again, Terrell McClain, as we just kind of talked about. And I would also say this. I think Will Compton also has a little something here on the line. Not that I think they'll get rid of him, but he's been moved back to the second team, and there's some frustration there. He's a competitor, and he's a very prideful guy who's worked his ass off and turned in from an undrafted kid into nothing. But you have Martrell Spate and Nico Marley also who can call plays. Also, Martrell Spade is now finally healthy and made a big play in the backfield. So what would stop them on a one-year deal with Will Compton to say, look, if we believe in Mason Foster, and he had a great game the other day, and we know what Zach Brown is, even though he got beat on that touchdown, and we kind of like what Spate and Martley have done, and they can also call plays, do we really need Will Compton? And I'm not saying that they would get rid of him, but it's something that they're going to have to consider because they can't carry all of these guys.
Chris, much appreciate the time. The information as always, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you,
tomorrow, we're Mike and the Mad Dog.
All right, dog.
Junior Gillette, stutter dog. See, that was pretty good.
A little bit.
That wasn't bad. He could do it. Grant and Danny on the fence.